Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spiritual Insights. Thank you for so much for tuning in. I want to ask a question. Are you living the life you feel you deserve? Well, today we welcome speaker, author, and radio personality Kimberly Rinaldi, who lovingly shares her decades of experience as a certified master trainer of hypnotherapy, emotional freedom technique, neuro-linguistic programming, success coaching, and Reiki. Affectionately known as Kimber, she's created a highly successful private coaching practice in Whittier, California, and now teaches lessons in joyful living, where she empowers others to break through any and all barriers to progress, success, and peace. What used to take weeks, months, or even years can now be done in a matter of hours with her programs, where she uses her natural intuitive abilities as a psychic medium in combination with her unique techniques to help you reach your greatest potential and joyfully step into a life of purpose. She provides tools to carry for a lifetime. Welcome to the show, Kimber. It's so nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It is my pleasure to be here.
Well, I want to kind of give everybody an idea of the magic that can happen when we're in this arena. I met you on Twitter, which surprisingly proved to me that social networking in that arena can be effective. Are you finding you're really making great connections and meeting wonderful people like me, meeting you and everybody else who's been on the show?
Oh, absolutely. I have met clients and colleagues and now friends over the last couple of years utilizing social media, and it's also a wonderful tool for reconnecting with the people in your past as well.
Yes, magical things. And in the time since I met you on Twitter, I've learned that you spent over 20 years working in the healthcare field, and that during the time, that's when you perfected your skills, your tools, and your abilities. When and how did you know you had psychic abilities?
Well, like a lot of us, I had imaginary friends that weren't quite so imaginary.
Right.
And I couldn't understand how my family and friends and neighbors didn't see what it was that I saw. And my mother, I will say, encouraged my imaginary friends to a certain degree, and then at a certain age, she started getting a little concerned because they moved on from animals to people and people in our past, people that I didn't know. And with a family history of ours, which has significant mental illness issues, at a certain point, she asked me to stop talking about those imaginary friends.
Oh.
And it really was, it was a bit of a challenge, but from the time I can remember, 3-4 years old, I was seeing spirit, speaking to spirit.
Wow. I'm picturing my childhood around the same age and that look my mother would give me when I said something. Did you get the look? Like,
oh, I got the look when it was stuff that rocked her sense of reality. I got the, aw, isn't that cute, when she could wrap it up in, it's my overactive imagination.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my mom was encouraging to a degree, but I think I stumped her more often than not, where she didn't know what to say, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard. How do you explain to a 4-year-old who can only describe something in that context and give them an explanation that they can digest? So it's not easy, this path, but it's interesting, though. How did you go from a corporate healthcare career to working in the metaphysical realm? Was the bridge you crossed a surprisingly short distance, or did it happen simultaneously? Tell me how your life experiences led to what you're doing now.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I, having been, you know, speaking with spirit from 3 or 4 years on to my teens where, for whatever reason, and a lot of us go through this, we get into stuff that we don't fully understand, and I tried my best to shut it down. At 28 years old, I was getting married. I was working in a corporate environment, and I remember, well, I had just been married. I remember I came home from my honeymoon, and I was reading my horoscope, and there was just stuff that I couldn't stop from bleeding through. And we were married in the Catholic Church, and I was raised Catholic. I graduated from a Catholic school. And I remember my husband seeing me reading my horoscope, and I swear to you, he said, you know, you realize based on our faith, just doing that is enough for you to go to hell. And I remember thinking, wow, at some point I might have to choose between being married and being who I am, because telling him I see and talk to dead people is not going to be a comfortable conversation.
He didn't know at that point?
Oh no, I kept it so hidden.
Yeah, I never told boyfriends. That was for friends only.
Yeah, I mean, and this was the man I married. When things would pop out of my mouth that I couldn't, you know, explain, it became, oh, I must have heard that somewhere. Oh, I had to have seen that somewhere.
The cover up.
You know,
cover up excuses.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, fast forward another 7 years or so, and I'm about 35, and he one day says, I've made an appointment for a psychic to come and read our home, and she's, you know, very well educated, she's very well received, and I really think she'd do us a world of good. And I thought, okay, well,
wow,
sure, what the heck, you know? And she came, and as soon as she got done validating all of the experiences that we had had, and we live in a very active home, and it's a beautiful situation.
I see. Okay.
As soon as she had validated all of those things, he said, I'm going to excuse you two because you need to talk. So 7 years later, there was enough that he knew there was more to what I was doing. There was more to what I was saying. Now, the short story from that point forward, Pam sat me down and said, you have questions. And I said, no, I'm good. I'm perfectly good. Thanks for coming. It's been lovely. And she said, no, that's actually why I'm here. You have a question. And I said, no. And then I burst into tears, and I said, how much of this activity in this house is about me? And she said, oh, sweetheart, all of it. You're one of the most powerful mediums that I have ever met. She says, spirit dances when you're around because you are so connected. And at that point I was, you know, I'm shaking, I'm sobbing. And she said, I have to tell you, within 10 years, your whole life will be changed. You will be doing this for a living. You will be teaching. You will be doing missing persons. You will be doing, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I literally looked at her. May I use language?
Feel free.
Okay. I looked at her and I said, there is no fucking way that's happening. That's crazy. And she smiled and patted me on the arm, and to this day she'll ask how that no fucking way thing is going for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that working.
It when she opened my eyes to what I was capable of, that next year from 35 to 36, my whole world just began unraveling, because I wasn't living my authentic life. I wasn't doing what I came here to do.
Yeah.
I started developing health issues by trying to stay in the healthcare arena in the corporate environment.
Right.
And when I stepped away and stepped in this path fully, I can't say that I've done anything other than be blessed and be allowed to be a blessing to others since then. It's been a beautiful experience.
Interesting. Let me make sure I understand the storyline here. So there was some paranormal activity in your home, and your husband went and found her?
Yeah.
But, and yet he didn't turn to you and say, or did you just say, I don't know?
I was still playing that game. I was still playing the, gotcha. I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, stripy cat in the hallway, never saw it. Don't know what you're speaking of.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm glad he did that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure now, all these years later, I'm sure you're glad too. She sounds really cool. I like her energy.
Yeah. Pam was an absolute blessing, and my husband to this day, my biggest supporter. I mean, he, you know, bless his heart, he will call me if something's going on with somebody who's a loved one or a family friend, and he'll say, you know, can you just check in energetically and give me the best direction to help them with?
Wow, what a transformation.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
I love it. I'm so thankful that you have that. But so you go from trying to hide behind the curtain, like we all do, and coming up with excuses.
Yeah.
Like some people would say to me, how did you know that? And I just fluff it away with, oh, I must have had a dream about it, or, you know, just something that would make sense to someone else. But
right.
But now your life is totally different. What you're doing now is you facilitate regular workshops. You have a biannual women's retreats, teleconference training, private VIP breakthrough experiences, and this is all under the heading of Lessons in Joyful Living. So
absolutely.
My question for you is, what does joyful living mean to you? How does that encompass your purpose for you?
You know, it's interesting because that was even a challenge. So I embraced my spirituality, my, you know, metaphysical being, that other part of me. Mm-hmm. But I was working in behavioral sciences and working as a coach, and I kept the two very separate. And I remember a lot of people, you know, 10, 12 years ago saying, one's going to have to give. You can't follow both paths. And I kept thinking, that's what I would coach a business person to do if they were trying to focus, is, yeah, focus on the one that brings you the most joy. But for me, whichever one I was working in was the one that was bringing me the most joy, and I just couldn't get my head around it.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, what is this about for me? It's about finding that joyful place. And part of my intro in my show speaks of happiness being overrated, and that I teach from that joyful place. And joy for me is that internal state that you are so connected, I don't care what the experience is, that internal state that you know your eternal spirit is okay. You know you're going to be okay. It's that peace. It's that connection. It isn't, oh, I got a new car that's bright, it's shiny, it's happy. So I actually had to, what we call chunk up, take that step above what I was doing, and I realized this is all teaching lessons in joyful living. And whatever that lesson is, it's different for everybody. And at that point, I was able to actually marry the two businesses because they were very separate and fully come out of the psychic closet, as I say, and be fully open to what I do.
Yes. It's funny. Someone I consider now a friend, she's terrific. She does what we do. And when I sat down with her to kind of get to know her a little bit, she gave me this four-phase process, which had me cracking up. It's like, okay, you're a kid, you know you're different, but you don't talk about it. You're a teenager, you're trying to be normal. And then at some point you come out of the closet. And
yeah.
And then further down, there's a point where you take full ownership of the gift and say, okay, I'm going to do what I'm here to do. It's an interesting process. And yet along the way we hear these clicking sounds as it all falls into place. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, from a coaching perspective, both in coaching people into their spiritual fullness and behavioral change, I tell people some of the things that you are most resistant to are ultimately going to be your biggest blessings because your eternal spirit had a hand in setting this up. So sit
absolutely.
Back and enjoy the damn ride because it's going to get great.
Absolutely. And it's funny how we're pulled towards something, and when the minute you say yes, it all falls into place. And I know we kick ourselves, but it's that thing like, why didn't I get this years ago? Everything could have been different. You know, we have those would've, could've things, arguments in our head. But I do believe that we come into our own at the proper time. That those earlier clues as to what our purpose is are basically primers to the day when we embrace it fully.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I would not be here with you right this minute if things hadn't unfolded exactly in the timing that they did.
Absolutely. I totally believe that we agreed to meet right here on this day at this time having this conversation. And I'm hoping that all the listeners will benefit, especially with the idea that, you know, since we're talking about it, if there is something egging at you and you feel pulled to do, but your mind overrides it and says it doesn't make sense, what am I going to have to sacrifice to do that? Just know that when it's really meant to be, there is no sacrifice. Say yes, and it falls into place. Like, people come to you, really. Wouldn't you encourage everybody to do that? How would you, in your words, how would you encourage everybody to embrace what they're compelled to do?
Absolutely. For me, what I try and communicate both in my teachings and in my lifestyle is stand back, open your heart, open your arms, open your hands, because when you're holding on to what your belief set about what should be or what could be is that strong that your little hands are clenched around it, life comes at you quickly and those hands aren't open and available to grasp what's out there for you.
I'm
all about metaphors.
yeah, me too. I love it. And resistance can be very, very painful and uncomfortable because of the attachments that we have. That's basically just an attachment. This is the way I think it's supposed to be when spirit is so unlimited in the way things can come to you and happen that, like you said, with a clenched fist, you cannot receive fully what is being offered. And so you hit a few bumps, but all learning lessons, of course. Speaking
again,
of...
Yeah, your eternal spirit had a hand in setting this up. Your ego, which is here to preserve body, don't get me wrong, it has a purpose, but it's a much lesser purpose than your eternal spirit. Your eternal spirit had a hand in this process. Step back and let it play out.
I love how you state that joy is an internal state of eternal connection. That's really cool. I like that.
But speaking
of learning, so where are your programs held?
You know, it's funny. I actually, because I was working so hard at being closeted for so long, I actually had a larger international following than a local following. So I was doing webinars and teleseminars and distance learning long before I was doing in-person stuff.
Okay.
When I transitioned to in-person stuff was about 7 years ago. I was going to a family event, and I realized they're going to ask what I'm doing now with my life, and all they need to do is Google my name and find out, so I'd better come out of that closet quickly. And when I did that, I started deciding, you know what, I'm going to start doing a lot more local things and doing more in-person things. And I actually have a beautiful art gallery in Whittier, which is in Southern California. It's energetically charged. It's tremendously powerful. And I do a lot of my events there.
I love the energy of it. It feels almost, not so much like it's sitting on a vortex, although I could be dead wrong, but it feels like there's a mix of energy. What is with that space? Did you do that, or was it like that when
I
you
did
got
that.
It? You did it,
I did
okay.
that. There was actually two businesses before we moved the gallery, because we actually owned the business next door and then took over the space. The two businesses before we were in there were lower vibration is all I'm going to say. So I came in there and I cleaned house and I do a lot of work with angels and I station angels shoulder to shoulder around every place that I work. And when you raise that vibration and you're bringing in these warriors essentially for peace and prosperity and joy and health and wellness, it just becomes such a beautiful place.
I can feel that. That's fantastic. I love
it. Thank you.
So what tools do you use to help your clients or your participants in your events? I know you have an arsenal.
Oh, gosh. I have an arsenal. That's just it. And I'm constantly learning new things because I believe, you know, it's settled saying when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. I believe it's true. I believe
it
the more
true.
Tools I have, I can guarantee specific outcomes in certain circumstances because I know I've got tools that work 99% of the time for 99% of the population,
right.
And I've got like five of those for each issue. But I'm trained in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. It's the study of communication and language and behavior. And it is about modeling excellence. And the belief is if one can, all can. So if one person can get over emotional trauma, anyone can. If
yes.
one person can get over financial despair and create wealth, anyone can. I utilize emotional freedom technique, which is based EFT. It's based on acupuncture meridians, and that's based on 6,000 years of Chinese medicine. Pretty well proven.
Yes.
I utilize Reiki. I utilize angel work, sound therapies, crystals, toning. I come up with stuff on the fly if I have to, and again, because of the work with angels, I am inspired in so many ways.
Yes,
so,
well, obviously, you know, if someone presents to you with a unique issue and they need to hear the answer or have the experience that is the most beneficial to them, I can see an angel downloading an idea into you
yeah.
and just looking and saying, you know what, I think I need to mix this up. Let's take this out. Let's pull this in. Okay, this is tailored to your energy field.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes from the metaphysical, which people I tell people all the time, embrace the woo, to the behavioral, because honestly, if you really break down the behavioral, it is energy work. You're working in thoughts. You're working in beliefs. You're working in emotions. What are they? Those
energy.
Are biochemical, electrical responses to your external experience. It's energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, I love getting into these conversations with behavioralists who look at me and they're like, oh, crap, you're making sense.
and they can't dispute anything you're saying on any level. There are no holes to punch. In
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've gotten into a few of those. It's always interesting when you meet a psychologist and they start telling you their problems and you start telling them what's going on in the dynamics of their problem. It's interesting.
You know what? I have, and it may come from where I came from. I spent 20 years in that Western medicine, left brain, healthcare experience, science, and, you know, black and white. I have a good number of clients and students who come from law enforcement, who come from healthcare, and specifically who come from the mental health arenas.
Really?
And they tell me that they are drawn to me because, you know, I'm not the woo-woo practitioner who's out there. I just stand back and say, look, here's how it all plays out. You find your place in it.
Yes, and you keep it down to earth, which mm-hmm. that's what I've always done is spirituality can be cool. It doesn't have to be, you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be
yeah.
this stuff that can be off-putting to most personalities who feel that their feet are solidly on the ground. And when you keep it down at this level and you make sense and you're very – clear and concise. I love that, you know, more and more people are drawn to it, but I especially love that more people in those professions are blending with this because I've been told I do dream interpretation. I was told mm-hmm. by I don't know how many people that their shrink told them that dreams don't mean anything, and I said, well, do you take this interpretation where I just told them everything that was going on in their life? You take this to them and you give them my phone number and tell them I would like to have a conversation with them. And it never happened, but I was appalled that, you know, I was spending time breaking down these very long dreams and then to have the response say, oh, my God, it's like you're in my house. And then, but I don't know what to do because my psychiatrist says that dreams don't mean anything. And I said, no, follow your heart, follow your gut, maybe follow your fingers in the yellow pages and find a new psychiatrist, you know?
Yeah, and the reality is dreams are metaphors.
Yeah.
I this is the first thing that I will do with someone. I'm like, close your eyes. Remember your first car. Tell me about it. And they'll go through the experience, and I say, okay, now open your eyes. Did you see the car? Did you see the color? Did you see an experience, or did you simply see the written word on a page? Well, no, I saw the car. I saw the color. That's a metaphor, sweetheart. That is a
yeah.
metaphor. It is a visual metaphor, and that's what a dream is.
It's like images attached to energy is the phrase that I found that best kind of encapsulates it. But I wanted to ask you, what kind of success stories, like what kind of breakthroughs have you seen with people who participate in your events? Like some really, really cool, inspiring things. Make somebody get up on the couch right now.
I have a couple that I love to share. One of them, this one was more behavioral, and she actually came to me as a referral from a neurologist. And she is, and these two are both actually retired LAPD officers, which makes it even funnier.
Yes.
The first one, she came to me from referral from a neurologist. She had had a virus. It had attacked her olfactory nerve, and she essentially lost her sense of smell. And, you know, that you don't think about it, but nature abhors a vacuum, so her mind had replaced it with the smell of dirty dish rag and bad vitamins. Not pleasant. So she goes to get a cup of coffee. It smells like dirty dish rag and bad vitamins. She's not drinking coffee. Then it becomes peanut butter. Then it becomes potato chips. Then it becomes, you know, it just started expanding outward. And when she was tested, she was in the fifth percentile, meaning 95% of the population had a better sense of smell. Not they smelled better. They had a better sense of smell.
Right.
I've made that mistake once. They had a better sense of smell. So she came to me, and we recreated, essentially using hypnosis, using neurolinguistic programming, we recreated her sense of smell so that when she was aware of something, the smell was returned to her. Now, if she walked in a room and was not aware of coffee, she smells nothing. She's still in the fifth percentile. But if she sees a cup of coffee, she smells it. That's
she
a beautiful thing. Pardon?
She can connect to it and then have the experience of smelling the coffee.
Right, and it's an anchor, and you don't think about it being a huge thing, but that gave her so much freedom in her life. Another client, and then I'll tell you about the other LAPD retired officer.
Okay.
Another client, I've seen clients resolve even third and fourth stage carcinomas while working with me. I do not take credit. The way I explain it is every cell in the human body has the DNA coding for perfect health. We're the ones who get in the way. If you have cancer, you have, you know, maybe hundreds of millions of cells that are saying cancer, 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 but you have billions of cells that have the potential to say perfect health.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a client who I saw her on a Thursday. She was at the hospital on Friday for her pre-ops. They did the markers. They were going to do bilateral radical mastectomy and begin chemo and radiation on her. I saw her on a Thursday. We did some Reiki. We did some hypnosis. Without going into a long explanation, it was the first time I had ever manifested ectoplasm, and it freaked me out. And she's like, what is that? And I'm like, I really don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Because I don't
look
know.
Away. Yeah, look away. Look away.
Yeah,
so
relax,
worked
breathe.
With her for about. Yeah, worked with her for about 2 hours. She went in for this bilateral radical mastectomy. Again, they were going to start chemo and radiation with her. Friday morning, they couldn't find anything other than a lump. She had a lumpectomy.
I love it.
And no chemo, no radiation. That was about 6 or 7 years ago.
That's
nothing
amazing.
Since.
I love it. Yeah, the body.
And that was her.
Body wants to heal. You just have to get into alignment with it. You know?
Absolutely. That was her, and that was full on her. And I loved that experience and being a part of it and being able to help her find that place within.
Yes.
Now,
and
this. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's enough to make you cry watching her walk away. Like just
right.
the joy in your heart that she had that experience for herself and got herself in that alignment and made that occur is it would just make me cry, you know?
And the fact that I had manifested, right, and that I had manifested ectoplasm, I knew something big had happened for her, but I do not hold any attachment to outcome. I gave her a big hug, told her I loved her, said, you have to call me and let me know what your final outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me over the weekend from home. I mean, they essentially did a lumpectomy and let her go after 24 hours.
How was her state? Was she shaking? Was she in a state of shock?
No, she owned it. She said she knew working with me she was going to find healing. She didn't know to what extent, but she said she knew she was going to find it. And I told her, I'm grateful I was able to help you to remember. That's all.
Oh, yes.
I helped her remember.
We're not really doing with the quotes. We're allowing, and it comes through us. Well, I'll tell you what.
Right.
Let me go to commercial break, and when we come back, I want to ask you how you teach others to embrace their gifts that they have, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Don't go away, anybody. We'll be right back after these messages.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Explore new areas of interest, expand your knowledge, and gain clarity about your life's purpose at the Ocala Enter Center. Affectionately known as OIC, the Ocala Enter Center, just 2 blocks south of Town Square, offers workshops, classes, healing meditations, and special events for the Ocala, Gainesville, and Central Florida spiritual community. Check out our calendar of events at ocalaentercenter.com. And if you're looking for a place for your next workshop or seminar, go to ocalaentercenter.com and give Gene a call.
And we're back, and if you have just tuned in, we are with Kimber Rinaldi, a multi-talented healer, psychic, workshop facilitator, and teacher who shares us the art of joyful living. So, Kim, I have to double-check. Did you get to that other story about the retired LAPD?
No, but it's actually going to be a great lead-in for what you want to talk about next.
Cool. Go ahead.
Which is, I do teach, and one of the first things that I teach my students is be prepared to be questioned, don't live and die by the validation, and get comfortable being wrong. Get your ego out of the way.
Gotcha.
So that being said, client calls and she says, I've lost a very expensive, but more importantly, emotionally important pair of earrings, diamond earrings. Can you just take a look and see if you can locate them? And I said, you know, start telling me what you were doing when they turned up missing and let me see what I can come up with and really connect with the feeling of the loss because I want the energy of it. And while she's doing that, I said, okay, they're in your car. And she says, no, we've taken the car apart. It's been to the car wash. We vacuumed it. And I'm like, no, I see you finding them in your car. They are between the rug and the little carpet mat, and they're in the driver's side. And she's like, no, you don't understand. And then she starts going over everything she's been through, and I'm like, no, I just see them there. And she's like, well, you know, thanks anyhow, and she hangs up. So 2 days later, I get this text message, have to talk, give me a call now. So I call her, and she says, damnedest thing. I've been through every place. We've, you know, looked. We've taken the car apart. She goes, I'm getting in the car. I put my handbag on the dashboard, it slides, and as it slides and falls, something shiny falls out of it. She goes, and I watch it do this little arc and land sort of where you said I would find my earring. She goes, and I'll be damned. I reached down, and there was my earring.
Mm.
And I started laughing. I said, well, I did tell you. I see you finding it there. And she starts laughing. She says, well, if you were such a good psychic, why didn't you just tell me it was in my handbag in the first place?
Ow.
And I love that. I love that. You know what? I love being told no, and then getting the calls back later. Oh, my God, you're not going to believe what I have.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you worded it the way you did. I see you finding it there. I didn't say, this is where it is right now, but I see you finding it there. Don't worry.
And
she had to go through that, though.
great. And that, you know, and to this day, she's still a client and a dear friend. And like I said, but it was just so funny the way she said that. Well, if you're such a good psychic, why didn't you just tell me it was in the damn handbag?
Yeah, there you go.
And I said, you know what? That's not how it always works. Sometimes you're not meant to find things. Sometimes there's something else that needed to be done first. So
they happen for a reason. And, like, you know, you're heavily into metaphors. And, like, just the other day, someone had to delay an appointment because they had lost their cell phone. And when I did get them on the phone, and I said, what happened with the cell phone? And they told me where they were and who they were with and how they lost it. And I translated that like a dream. I'm like, well, we need to look at this. There's communication, there's emotional safety, there's the family. And it turned out there was a lawsuit that he was trying to back away from, and that's why he lost it. But we can't rob people of those experiences, even if they don't fully comprehend on an intellectual level what it's for. But that's a really cool story. I like that. So
yeah, and I tell that in all of my trainings, and I tell people, again, get comfortable being wrong. Do not live and die by the validation. It's great when you get it. Learn to trust your own spirit. If I hadn't done that, I would have backed down and said, well, okay, you've already looked there, but this is what I'm seeing. Never mind. And I might not have given her the information.
Yes, you have to learn to stick to your guns. Like, you know, I trust my messages. Let me know how it turns out is the best you can do. And it was set up to do that. So you nailed it.
So what do you do in
your trainings? What kind of activities? You have different kinds, of course. What would you like to tell us about your retreats and success coaching? And you train people to embrace their intuitive abilities and strengthen them?
I do. I train people to do everything that I do, because again, from NLP, I was taught and we have learned that if one can, all can. And I really believe that it is so important, whether you never give a psychic reading in your life professionally, it's so important to learn to live intuitively, to live connected, because honestly, that's what we came here for.
Absolutely.
So I teach everything from basics, which is opening and closing, embracing the gift, protection models, to using tools.
Yes.
So, and I tell people, you know, it's important to understand why you're doing it, what you're doing, and do it the right way. I teach multiple methodologies, and then I tell them, go out there and explore and find what works for you. But the bottom line in all of my teachings is it's all about energy and intention. And whether I'm teaching Reiki, whether I'm doing a breakthrough session with somebody to get them beyond, you know, a bad relationship, or, you know, coach them into a new business, it's all about energy and intention. And all of the tools, all of the skills, all of the direction I use is getting people to that understanding.
Right. It's just sad when some people think they don't have anything at all. And, you know, maybe it's not for everybody to explore in this lifetime. It's all according to their contract. But everybody has it. And do you have a hard time convincing people that they do have certain abilities? They just have to kind of identify and acknowledge those?
You know what? It's... By the time they get to me, I have a wonderful soul contract that by the time they get to me, certain things have been met. And I get the occasional student who, you know, I came with Sally. Sally wants to do this. I'm just here to have a good time. It's not for me. I'm just here for the fun of it.
I love that.
And those are usually the ones who 6 months, a year later, they're getting a hold of me and they're like, oh, my God, I'm doing professional readings and I'm actually making a good living at this.
They're the first to sign up for your trainings too.
the things that we're most resistant to are the biggest blessings in our lives, but we also understand much is asked from those to whom much is given. We understand that.
Right.
So it's important. It is important, and I believe teaching is part of my path, and that's why I do it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I do the breakthrough work. I do Reiki training. I do it all.
You have it going on, girlfriend. Well, let me
Thank
ask.
You.
between your live, your in-person events and workshops and the ones that are teleconferenced, is there a difference? Or how do you treat the technological side of it? Do you have to make adjustments, or is it perfectly uniform across the two platforms?
You know, I'd love to say it's perfectly uniform across the two platforms. I'd be lying. It's like saying you don't have a favorite child.
Just don't lie.
Exactly. I love the in-person stuff because it's a give and take. It is a give and take on the phone. It is a give and take in the distance stuff. Mm-hmm. But I get to interact directly.
Yes.
Do you get the same thing out of it across the board? Absolutely you do, because it is energy and intention. One of the things that I to this day, and I don't know how long I can do it, I may change it at one point, I don't know. But one of the commitments I make to my students is if they pay for a distance program, then they decide they want to come work with me, or I'm teaching in their area and they want to do a live program, I extend their tuition. If I have room, they're welcome to come. Or they're welcome to come and volunteer and work the program to get a different level of learning to actually teach, to be one of the assistant instructors.
Yes, that's good. Very, very arms open. That's great. I hope a lot of people take advantage of that. But what I want to touch on the technology again. Look how different. I think we're very similar in age. Look how different it is. It's not the 70s anymore. And like I said in the beginning of the show, I met you on Twitter, which I really felt was pretty much useless, because it's so impersonal, I guess. But we have Twitter, there's Facebook, there's other forms of social media. Just the fact that we both have a radio show on the Internet is amazing. How's it changed the way you market, the way you advertise, and the way your business has expanded, which has to be exponential?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fully transparent. I am 47 years old. I spent a good 20 years in the healthcare industry, and I learned marketing from the brick and mortar perspective. I also have two brick and mortar businesses along with my service-based businesses. And I learned marketing from the old paradigm. I was blessed. I have to say I was truly blessed a year and a half ago to have had a couple of clients who really just, they were under 30 and they told me I had to embrace social media, and I looked at them and smiled and tipped my head and thought, oh, I have shoes older than you. No.
Yeah, right?
You don't know what you're talking about. No. And the bottom line was, we had long conversations. Now, I will tell you, one of them is actually my social media manager now. I've hired her after I got the marketing down and understood and really got things, you know, pinned down the way I wanted them. Mm-hmm. She was also the voice of the Orange County Register, their social media marketing, for 7 years. This was the person I was saying no to. It's the number three or number four newspaper in the country, and I was tipping my head and going, "Oh, you're so cute. You think you know what you're talking about."
Oh, humbling, yeah. Humbling.
Oh, truly, truly. I mean, there was a fruit basket. There was an apology letter, and she brings it up every once in a while. She thinks it's funny because I talk about it openly, but I had to again let go of what my belief set was, because the truth of the matter is I launched a radio show last year to dismal numbers in that first month, and I thought, this isn't working. I'm not used to not having this level of success. So I took a step back and asked her, as well as the other client who was the director of brand development for the music industry for Twitter. Yeah, that's how arrogant I was. I told these two 30-somethings, 29-somethings,
yes,
that I knew better.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, but if you can laugh at yourself, you're okay. But
absolutely.
Are these people looking for business? If you want to give them a plug, you're more than welcome to.
Actually, they don't freelance. They don't. The person who's doing my social media marketing, it's a special situation. So,
it's
and the other
yours.
One works for Yeah, the other one works for Twitter, and she gave me information freely that I'm out there sharing openly as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, what major piece of advice would you like to offer the listeners on ways to live joyfully or to even begin? How do you take that first step?
You know what? For so many people, they really don't know because they get caught up in the day-to-day, pay the bill, go to work, come home, clean the house. Pattern of behavior of just, you know, getting from day one to day two. So many people really don't know what it is they want. They've become numbed.
Yeah.
And law of attraction, universe, whatever you want to call it, says, you know, don't look at what you don't want, focus on what you do want. But sometimes we have to look at what we don't want if we really don't know what we do want.
Right.
And one of the first things I'll do with clients is tell them, all right, give me your top 10 list of things. I'll use relationships as an example.
Okay.
Give me the top 10 things that you have learned out of all your crappy relationships that you know you will never tolerate again.
Okay.
And we use that as a jumping off point. We then do what's called a reverse mirror image. If you're not doing this, then what are you doing? So,
okay.
You know, if you're not in a relationship with somebody who's mistreating you, what are you doing? Well, I'm in a relationship with somebody who honors and respects and supports me. Great. So now we know that is what you want. But, you know, too many people, and most of my clients are women, so I'm going to use the word women. Too many women walk around going, God, I don't want another shitty relationship again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what is it that you do want? Let's look at that. Does that make sense?
That can leave you thinking for a while. I mean, you know, ultimately what we all want is peace. But that's a large heading for harmony, respect, communication.
Yeah.
Fidelity, it's not too much to ask, you know, but I think
you have to start with what is it that you really want, and what I want is going to be very different than what somebody else wants. I want independence. I did not get married till I was 28, and I married somebody who owned his own businesses, who is as big a workaholic as I am. People laugh because we get like 3 days off a month together. And
that's
been 20 years, and we have a wonderful marriage. That's how it works for us. You know, we make appointments. Like last night, we made an appointment for dinner and a movie. And I probably won't have dinner with him again till Friday night. So
wow.
But
it, what works for you, and as long as you have that harmony and the clear communication and the mutual respect, there really aren't many bumps to address. I rarely have something to address because there's mutual respect. There's no manipulation in my relationship where I would have to address it through the form of an argument or something like that.
Good
for you.
Yeah, I found somebody who was secure enough to stand back and let me be who I came here to be.
Yeah.
No questions. And I give him that as well.
Absolutely. And it took me a while longer to find the one, but he was absolutely worth the wait. So kudos. And for anybody who is in that holding pattern, waiting for the right one, what would you say to them about that holding pattern we find ourselves in until that one comes along?
You know what? Stop looking. Start looking to make yourself happy. Go do good things for you. Because when you start showering your life with those good things and those good feelings, the universe reciprocates. The universe conspires with you, not against you.
Perfect. And it's true. That's an important point, that the universe never conspires against you. It's always conspiring with you. We just have to get that balance, that neutral, not neutral, there is no neutral. What you said earlier nails it. What you focus on is what you create more of. So if you're focusing on lack and emptiness and loneliness, you're perpetuating that cycle. But if you fill your heart with self-love, that's who people want to be with.
You know, and I love that point, and I've brought it home on more than one occasion with coaching clients with this statement. If you can't stand to be alone with you, why the hell would anybody else want to?
Absolutely.
Go find the joy in being with you. I love my me time.
Yes.
I love it. And you know what? A lot of people, I'm not going to say most people in my life, a lot of people enjoy being around me because I enjoy being around me.
Absolutely, and I'm guided to say something very important.
Go ahead.
For everybody, for you, me, and for everybody listening, what I think is important that people do is with regard to doing that, finding time to be alone and do something that you enjoy or find activities, whether it's joining a poetry group or a book club, whatever you feel you want to do, but you don't do it out of some exaggerated sense of obligation to others or because you're worried about their opinions. What the major words I wrote down was without apology. Be yourself. Do what you enjoy. As long as it's not hurting anybody, be yourself and do what you want to do with your life without apology. And the more you do that, the less people feel that room to criticize or to try to get you to not do it. Because a lot of people, especially in my case, I work hard. And people have stopped doing it because I stopped worrying about it. But people will call me up trying to convince me how much I needed to take a break. You know? But how do you feel about what I said about not apologizing for being and doing what you want to do to make yourself not just content, but joyful?
Absolutely agree with it. And to bring it home a little bit more, I tell people, you came into this world whole and complete. You forgot. But the bottom line is, you play roles in a lifetime, and that role may be mother, sister, daughter, friend, employer, employee, wife, whatever. Those are just little pieces of who you are. Now, Charlotte, you came in, and from the moment of birth to the moment of death, you're Charlotte. All those other roles sort of fit in as puzzle pieces.
Right.
Having come in whole and complete, having come in Charlotte, it is more important that you are true to that role than any of the others. That is who you are.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I get up on that soapbox too.
And because I have such a clear memory when I was a young age, I'm pretty sure you have the same. I remember that breaking down process of kind of knowing who I was at a very young age and then feeling the disconnect that I felt after an experience took place. And the little chips that broke away that I had to, years later, reclaim to pull those pieces back together to find the piece I was looking for. Did you have that same experience?
You know, I have moments of clarity is what I tell people. And sometimes it makes total sense, and other times I feel like I'm just holding on to a thread as it's being pulled through my hands. We are all whole and complete. And sometimes I really do have to just step back and know that, even though I don't know that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We speak the same language.
We do.
Talk about speaking. I want you to tell everybody about your radio show and where they can find it and when to listen. But first, I understand that you've been featured in several books, and right now you're in the process of editing a project, which is your newest release. Would you like to share what you're working on and then tell us about the radio show so we can all tune in?
Absolutely. The piece that's going to be released hopefully this year, it's at the editors right now. We're tossing it back and forth with changes, is called Lessons in Healing Choices. And it's a piece that's devoted to helping people break down the trauma and drama of their past and really get to a place to understand that you can find emotional neutrality regardless of what you've been through. And every experience is a neutral until you put a value on it. The good news is you can go back and revalue any experience with
That's
this.
That's great. Yes.
So Lessons in Healing Choices should be coming out, hopefully at the end of the year, if I can really get myself moving on it. As far as the radio show, it's Lessons in Joyful Living on the TogiNet station. And we are Monday through Friday, live at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And we are available on demand anytime, either at TogiNet. It's tntr.toginet.com, which is TogiNet Talk Radio, so TNTR, or on iTunes, or you can go to KimberlyRinaldi.com anytime, and we have the little podcast player there that will help you get connected with me.
Mm. Yes, I had the pleasure of tuning in a couple times. You really have a great show. And when the book is finished, whenever it's meant for that to be complete, just let me know, and we'll come back on the air, and we'll talk about it, okay?
I would love that. Thank you so much, Charlotte.
You're quite welcome. It sounds, you know, no matter what our process is, and we can come out of a very, very dark tunnel, step into the light and find the peace that we both teach about and try to demonstrate and try to gently coax people into stepping into that peace. But I would be very curious to read your book, and I could probably learn about a lot more about myself than what I'm consciously aware of in that process, because it was very distinct for me, that breaking down and then that upswing of recognition of the truth of who you really are. So I'm looking forward to reading that. Sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there a nugget of wisdom you would like to leave the listeners with? And what events do you have coming up? Tell us when and where we can meet up with you, what events, and throw it out there.
May and October, I do my women's healing retreats. May is on the West Coast. October is on the East Coast. You can go to KimberlyRinaldi.com and find out more about where they are and how to get involved in that. I'm always teaching something, whether it's Reiki or what I call Life Success Training, which is my full coaching program. And, again, you can go to KimberlyRinaldi.com and find out about when those are coming up. I think the next one is this summer. I have a Women, Wealth, and Worthiness event that I'm doing with a business partner in April. We're launching that. I just partnered with somebody else, and we have launched Into the Light Paranormal, and we're doing monthly paranormal investigations just for fun because I had 5 free hours a month.
Yeah, in your spare time. That's what I'm thinking.
Right, right. I wasn't sleeping during those moments. So I've always got something going. I really do live a very busy, active life, and that's what I love. And I love being out there and training and teaching and helping people find what they need.
Yes.
As far as a nugget of wisdom, you know, I say Lessons in Joyful Living is about reminding you. I say go out and do good things for you. And I say when you find your lesson, don't forget to share it with someone else. Because if you can help someone else avoid the heavy lifting in their own lives, it's a blessing.
Absolutely. But something you just said hit me very hard. The title, mm-hmm. Women, Wealth, and Worthiness.
Oh, yeah.
I get so much energy from that. It's ridiculous. You got to tell us what you're doing and how you're doing it. And
that is, it's going to be launched in April. It's a 2-day event. And Women, Wealth, and Worthiness is about basically releasing the crap. I think the marketing copy says releasing the bullshit that's holding you back. And essentially, okay. It is understanding that your bank account, your relationships reflect your belief in what you're worth. And that is the ultimate truth. What you have is a reflection of what you believe you're worth or what you believe you're worthy of. And it's a lie. It's bullshit. If you're not happy, it's bullshit. We are going to spend the first day utilizing a whole bunch of tools that I have to identify what those limiting beliefs are, to actually break them down. The second day, my partner, Monica Lorraine, who is an astrologer extraordinaire, has a program that she's put together that I help break the bullshit down. She helps show you the tools and the steps you need to impart the direction you want to go and to help you launch. And she's been through my trainings. I've been through her training. We looked at each other and went, your chocolate needs to be part of my peanut butter. So.
And it feels to me, I won't say sound, it feels to me that it's very simple and profound and impactful, and that you're changing people's lives with that.
Oh, yeah.
With all of it. But
oh, yeah.
That feels amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure, and you are an absolute joy in my life.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the mutual support that we offer each other. Do let me know what's happening and what you're offering, and I will promote and support you in any way I can.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
You're quite welcome. All right. Well, that's our show for today, everyone. Kim Rinaldi. It's KimberlyRinaldi.com. Go and visit. See how she can help you, too. And I so appreciate everybody tuning in through iTunes and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much. Until next time, God bless and be at peace.